and welcome to The Word in Me. This is your host, Vanessa Morris. This program is presented by the Emerald Rose Center San Diego. Happy Monday to everyone out there. We will kind of segue from the book of John, chapter 8. We left off with the woman being caught in adultery and how Jesus showed her immense grace and told her, go and sin no more. And I would like us to go to the book of Exodus, for a period of time to discuss the Ten Commandments, as John chapter 8 is a good segue over to the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments is about moral law. And although it was in the Old Testament, it is still applicable today because God's word is alive. So we're going to look at the Ten Commandments for a little bit. Let's go first before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you on today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for just continuing to keep us from this dark hour and to keep our heads lifted up and to keep us continually trusting in you, Lord, because you have never failed us. And we just thank you, Lord, for keeping us, watching over us and protecting us, Lord. Open up your word, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to understand your word and who you are, that we may be able to live a peaceable life. And help us, Lord, to do what you are calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3 to get started. And let me give you a little bit of backdrop, though. In Exodus 20, they had just come out of the bondage of Egypt. And now they have entered into the wilderness before they go over to the land of Canaan. And they were in Egypt for 430 years. And Egypt is a type and shadow of the world or sin. And so let's keep that in mind as the Israelites spent 430 years learning and developing a type of culture, so to speak, that was of the world and of sin. And they were in bondage. They were in slavery. So let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So God begins to tell them what is expected of them. And he tells them who he is and that and what he expects for them to do and not to do. So let's look at verse 2 again. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God repeatedly in Exodus, and starting really around this time, and maybe a little bit in 19 too, on, he keeps reminding them, I am the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. He keeps reminding them that I am the one that brought you out of bondage, out of slavery. Remember that. And he says, okay, this is what I have done. And I brought you out of the land of Egypt, which was the house of bondage. Now the house, the dwelling place, they dwelt in a prison for 430 years. And God is saying, I brought you out of that. And this is what I expect of you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, you can read that as no other gods before me, as if there are other gods and God needs to be put first. But no, there are no other gods. But he said, you should have nothing before me that you are worshiping. And we're going to get to that, that you are having before me, meaning in place of. God wants an exclusive relationship. You know, we as saints, we are known as the bride of Christ. You know, and God is not into polygamy. He has one bride and he is one groom. He wants an exclusive relationship. So we are the body of Christ. And in here he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it also means, so when we talk about moral law, we're talking about he has to be the supreme being above all things. He is above all things. That means that he is above money. He is above power. He is above your career. He is above your education. He is above the intellect that he gave you. You know, over in another chapter, I can't think of it at this very moment, but, you know, it talks about people serving the gifts rather than the gift giver. Anything that we have worth anything, God gave us. He gave us those smarts. If anybody was smart and a prodigy and someone that just naturally knows these excellent things of music and know how to paint and just knows math, just it comes so easy and they just grew up being extremely smart, God gave us that. So he is above that. He is above self-ambition, things that we want to do, how we want to dote on ourselves or how we want to say how great we are and things. He is above self and he is above other people. Sometimes we worship other people that we believe have more than we do, envy and things like that. God doesn't want that. So he is above all of that. And you know, he is above our pain and our heartbreak and issues, because sometimes we can make a God out of our tragedies. We just constantly live in pain. We're familiar with it. We talk about it. We live in it. And we make excuses, the reason why we can't move forward and we can't do this and we can't do that, because we have made a God out of our pain. God knows our pain, but he has borne our pain. And by his stripes, we are healed. So he is talking about, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall put nothing before me. That is the expectation I have with you. Now that God has brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of 400 years of bondage, he's saying, this is what I expect. Don't put anything else before me. Don't put anything else before me. And that's what God is saying to us today. Don't put anything else before me. I am the one that died for you. I died for you. I bore your sins so that you may be free. You may be out of Egypt. You may come out of the house of bondage, the house of the world, the bondage and slavery of the world. I am the one that died for you. I am the one that bled for you. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't worship money. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. Why would we worship the byproduct of something instead of just going straight to the throne? When Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil in the temple was rent in two. It was opened. Now we have access to the throne of grace. We can go straight in. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to do anything out in front and wash our hands and slay a fatted calf. We can go straight to the throne of grace. I'm going to stop right there. Please join me tomorrow on The Word in Me as we continue in the Ten Commandments. God bless you.